Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast, your source for policy rants and raves from Tech Freedom, your Washington, D.C. advocate for the freedom to tinker and innovate. I'm Evan Schwartzschrauber, your host. On today's show, India shuts the door on Free Basics, a program offered by Facebook in the developing world where a stripped-down version of the internet is free. And the purpose of the program is to get people introduced to the internet, to get them online, to see the value, but it also raised a lot of concerns about net neutrality and discrimination. And joining me in our DC studio to discuss this is Supreme Leader of North Korea and President of Tech Freedom, Baron Soka. Baron, thank you for joining me.
It's funny. I've been retweeting a lot from the North Korean news service on Twitter. Great satire account. Highly recommend it.
Well, I'm glad someone's reading that. I'm sure there's a lot of valuable information in that feed.
It's a satire account, Evan. It's what we like to call funny.
We'll see. We'll see about that. So, Baron, we've got a complete ban on zero rating effective in 6 months. So Facebook is just simply going to shut down the program. And in the decision, the telecom regulator of India, TRAI, we'll call it TRAI for this program, they said, quote, "A suitable regulatory framework for India, therefore, must necessarily be based on our country-specific factors, the need to equitably increase internet usage and penetration, foster competition, allow startups to flourish, and uphold the law of the land." In a nutshell, Baron, what's wrong with the Indian decision?
Well, they just didn't try very hard. They completely ignored, number one, the benefits of zero rating programs, specifically for adoption and deployment, the very thing that they claim to be most concerned about. Number two, they wildly exaggerate any costs of the program. There's not a lot of evidence that that has happened in other countries. But number three, to the extent that there might actually be a problem with a program like this, the regulator ignored other middle ground solutions that could have addressed those problems without completely banning the program.
So let's talk about some of those benefits up front. Facebook's data, according to their data, 50% of people who participate in the free, stripped-down version of the internet then want the full thing, and they go on to purchase that within 30 days of using Free Basics. Baron, did the telecom regulator in India mention this at all?
Nope, not a mention. The telecom regulator has basically a single paragraph where they talk about the arguments that are made in favor of these programs, but they don't actually engage with those arguments. And the point that you're making there, Evan, is that this program, when you read the regulator's decision, it sounds like Indians are getting trapped in some kind of second-class internet usage, and that's it. And you can understand, if you look at that through the lens of a colonial experience, you can understand that that sounds pretty denigrating. But the reality is quite different. The reality is that these programs are really used to get people online for the first time, to get them to sign up for a full internet service program. And so, in other words, it's really a stepping stone. And if you see people, as you say, half of the people who use Free Basics within the first month buying a full plan, you start to understand not only why this is good for Facebook, which really wants people to be full users in general, but for the carriers. And that's the part of the story that gets left out here. The Indian mobile market is actually quite competitive. There are 8 major carriers in the Indian market. They're competing fiercely for users, but they're trying to get online the 80% of Indians who still don't use the internet. And the number one reason that they don't use the internet is not actually cost. It's that they don't see a perceived relevance. Facebook, among others, cited data on that point. The regulator didn't address it at all. And the point is, from the carrier's perspective, giving away free content is simply marketing. It helps to get people to sign up in the first place, and it gets their foot in the door. And as you say, most people end up signing up completely. That's great news for the carriers. That's part of how you build a functional modern society. The Indian regulator didn't talk about that at all.
Yeah, a recent study showed that over 50% in India don't see a need to use the internet. So you could easily see how a good way of getting people to see the need for internet or the benefits of internet is to give some of it away for free. See if you like it. And if you do, you go on to purchase the whole thing. And if you don't like it, you're still getting access to vital information, which could include life-saving information like healthcare or municipal information.
Yeah. And so it's really, the way to think about this is in two categories. There are those users that sign up discover they love the internet and then convert to a full data plan. And in that side of the debate, there's very clear evidence from other countries where this kind of thing has been done that it's not Facebook or Twitter or Google that are driving these programs. It's the carriers. The carriers need more users on their networks to make the investment pay. But you're right, there's a second side to this, which is even those users that get online and that don't, at least initially or in the short term, buy a full usage plan, they're better off because they're getting access to at least some data rather than no data at all.
So let's get back to the rationale for the decision. You mentioned that we've talked about how they ignored the benefits, they've ignored the positive news about deployment and adoption, but they also just kind of threw up their hands and said it would be too difficult to look at these things on a case-by-case basis. They dismissed a middle ground approach. Why would they do that?
Yeah, well, so you have to think about those second and third points together. So the second point is they tell a very dark story about Facebook having too much power to stifle competition.
Right.
And then they say, well, given that that's so dire, and having discounted any benefits, the administrative costs of trying to police this kind of service on a case-by-case basis are too high. And so we're just not going to bother. We're going to have a complete ban per se in advance, rule it out.
Yeah, rather than look at these programs on a case-by-case basis, determine if there is actual consumer harm, determine if they're helpful or unhelpful, they just kind of throw up their hands and say, you know, it'd just be a lot easier to not deal with this at all. Just ban it outright.
Right.
Whereas the vast majority of countries with net neutrality regulation, including the United States, view these programs on a case-by-case basis because it's not clear whether some programs might be good or bad. It is a murky issue, and there's a lot of different types of zero rating. And should a regulator that can't even... that doesn't even have the resources to do its job be making this type of decision?
Well, and indeed, in the United States, the Federal Communications Commission has said that it will police zero rating on a case-by-case basis under the so-called general conduct rule. We've done other shows on that about T-Mobile's binge-on offering, other debates here in the U.S. It's worth noting that the very few other countries that have banned zero rating are moving away from those bans towards a case-by-case approach, like the Netherlands.
Yeah, just to use that example, the European Union actually did kind of the opposite of what India did. They banned it. They said you cannot have a categorical ban on zero rating. And the Netherlands, which is one of the only two European countries that ban zero rating, they're now moving away from that to harmonize their regulations with the much more market-oriented EU regulations.
Right. And they're being realistic because all of these countries have challenges with deployment. There's still lots of Americans who are not online, and who are not online primarily for the same basic reason as in India, which is a lack of perceived relevance. And that's what these programs are really targeted at dealing with. So the irony here, the really sad irony of all this, is that the Indian regulator and the people that pushed them to do it and the people that have been tweeting about it this week have been framing this as about anti-colonialism and standing up to Western influences. And that's why this conversation gets focused on Facebook. But in fact, what they're really doing, unfortunately, is succumbing to a different sort of impulse. So that is, there are certain academics in the United States who have talked about this kind of thing in a very abstract way, who have waved their hands about net neutrality in the absence of any data at all. Right, and not being at all concerned with the challenges of deployment, who have written about this as essentially sacred principle. And those essentially religious ideas about how to regulate net neutrality have been essentially carbon copied by the Indian regulator without any real thought to local circumstances.
Yeah, clearly the regulator was concerned about Facebook, a big American company with a lot of resources shaping Indians' internet experience, really future Indians' internet experience, because 80% of them don't have it right now. And it's hard to underestimate just how influential some of these academics in the United States are. So it's really a question of pick your influence from the West. I mean, you could have Facebook, who's trying to bring people online. They're not trying to make money off of the zero rating program. They don't even advertise on the platform. But then you've got Western academics who are trying to export their one-size-fits-all vision of the internet to India. So really what they're doing is trading one Western influence for another. But to say that this is somehow a victory for anti-colonialism is a bit simple. And there's also the problem that on the day of the decision, a bunch of people on Twitter were cheering this amazing victory for net neutrality. You know who wasn't on Twitter that day? 80% of India. Did anyone bother to ask them if what they thought about this?
Well, indeed, it's worth looking at countries where the deployment is more widespread. Like a country like Brazil is a different market. It's a different market in particular because there are huge numbers of people who are already very, very reliant on the free offerings of services like WhatsApp. And if their regulator tried to ban those offerings, they'd be out there in the streets protesting. So this is an unfortunate kind of situation where it's early enough that there aren't enough internet users to stand up to the regulator, and the regulator is just getting suckered by in this case, Barbara Van Shevik out at Stanford wrote a law review article about this, arguing essentially that there can be no middle ground. There's no way to deal with the outrageous harms here. Didn't give any attention to the benefits of zero rating. And this decision essentially is just a carbon copy of her views.
And the decision does something pretty incredible, because one of the biggest benefits of the Facebook program, as we mentioned, is that 50% of the people who use it go on to purchase full access. And that coincides perfectly with the fact that so many people in India don't use the internet just because they've never used it before. So it's an on-ramp. And that's a benefit. It's driving adoption. Whereas the Indian regulator twists that. They take that and say, well, while this might not be a major concern in a country where the majority already has internet access, in a nation like India, which is seeking to spread internet access to the masses, this could result in severe distortion of consumer choice and the way in which users view the internet. So that's kind of interesting. India's saying that, oh, if Facebook was doing this in the United States, it wouldn't be a problem, where most people already have access to high-speed internet. But in India, there's a big danger that Facebook is going to have too much influence on what people think of the internet as. I mean, is this just a case of first-world concerns trumping third-world problems?
No, it's more than that. It's a case of first-world crazy ideological thinking influencing people in the third world who infuse it with a kind of anti-colonial nationalism, appropriate it as their own, and then take positions that have nothing to do with the real circumstances of people in their countries. I mean, you may not agree with me about the bottom line here and how to regulate, but it is just inescapable if you actually read the 15-page decision that the regulator does not deal with the problems of adoption or broadband deployment, or confront in any way the arguments that Facebook and many others made in comments to the regulator about these programs being on-ramps, helping carriers achieve scale in deployment and so on. It's just not there. And the only explanation I can give for that is the regulators, they just don't understand the markets that well, and they're falling into the kind of thinking that, for example, in India, for many decades after independence, caused them to pursue economic policies that they thought were a way to stand up against colonial powers, but as we now know, were in fact impoverished Indians. It's a reversion to that kind of 1960s, 1970s third worldism.
So let's talk about what makes India unique. So Facebook is trying to address two problems. They're trying to address affordability and perceived relevance of the internet in people's lives. In contrast, I'm not really seeing many solutions on the broadband deployment problems in India from the people who oppose free basics. I'm not seeing some grand plan to fix these problems. And let's talk about some of these problems, Baron. What are the barriers to broadband deployment in India? Why are only 20% of the people connected?
Well, first of all, 20% of the market has essentially a wireless connection. I mean, there are lots of people in the U.S. who are focused on fiber to the home. They think that's the only form of deployment that actually means anything. In India, the total deployment of any wireline service to the home is in the very low single digits. In other words, internet access in India for all but the most elite people is mobile. And right. Not enough people have mobile access either. Now, why is that? Well, number one, infrastructure deployment in India, and as is true in most developing countries, is really difficult. If you put a fiber line in the ground, it's going to get dug up, it's going to get cut. It's very hard to protect those assets. So then people rely on wireless to compensate for that. But then they're at the mercy of the government. They have only as much spectrum as the government gives them. And Indian operators have a small fraction of the spectrum that's available in other countries, something like 1/5 or 1/6 as much as in Malaysia, for example. So that's a huge disadvantage. It has a lot to do with the fact that the Indian government used to give away spectrum quite generously to state-owned enterprises, which now hold on to that. So here in the U.S., we're having this debate about how do we get the broadcasters to let go of their spectrum? Well, in India, there are lots and lots of companies out there that hold on to spectrum that private companies can't get to provide broadband service. Government agencies won't give it up. It's an extremely large problem. So the Indian government should be making spectrum available in the way that the U.S. government did over the last 20 years, and they're not. And as if that weren't bad enough, they're doubling down on that. They're making it harder because there was a kind of techno panic about radiation causing cancer in India that then caused the regulator to impose limits on the power of emissions from each tower, which means you need even more towers than you would otherwise need, which was already a lot because you had a lot of spectrum. So you start looking at all the things that get layered onto this, and you realize just how incredibly difficult it has been for private companies to serve the market in India, and yet they have done an amazing job of building out networks to serve 20% of the Indian market. The question is, how do we get them to deploy more? And my point is, you can make things easier for them, get them more spectrum, deal with some of these infrastructure problems, but you need to address both sides of the market. They need to be able to get more consumers onto their networks. And Free Basics is their way of doing that. It's not about Facebook fundamentally. It's about scale for carriers.
Yeah, and Facebook's program has brought 15 million people online who weren't online, and that number continues to grow. And what the Indian regulator's decision does is kind of sends a lot of messages. One of those messages is that net neutrality regulation should not take into account the circumstances of a country. And let's just talk about how zero rating is big in Africa, because Africa has a similarly low penetration rate for internet use as India. But in Africa, we had Evelyn Smith from AEI on the podcast. She said people are not concerned about net neutrality. They're worried about human rights violations. They're worried about censorship. They're worried about autocratic regimes. So maybe because India doesn't have those problems, they were able to care about net neutrality. But let's flip the regulator's rationale on its own head. Maybe it's actually the opposite. Maybe it's that in the United States, we could afford to have this type of ban because, okay, T-Mobile would have to shut down Binge On, perhaps. Maybe they have to shut down Music Freedom, but we'd survive. Most of us have high-speed access, and maybe we'd be robbed from some innovation, and that's a shame. But India is not in a situation where they can afford to be absolutist and purist about net neutrality. And the fact that what a professor says gets to dictate that 80% of India doesn't get to try Free Basics, that's not the kind of dynamic you want. What kind of message does it send to small operators around the world who want to experiment with zero rating if Facebook, one of the largest and most powerful companies in the world, cannot get through to a regulator?
Yeah, well, the operators here, again, that we need to be most concerned about are the carriers, right? They're the ones who we actually need to do the work of deployment. There's a certain reference in the order from the Indian regulator that the government maybe could build out networks. That's a fantasy. I mean, this is a common fantasy in many countries that if we just had more tax money, we could fund universal service subsidies for building out networks. That's not actually how deployment has happened. It's happened with private companies going out and serving consumers if they can get the consumers to come to them. That's the key link here between supply and demand. But the other side of this, that I just want to, as we close here, emphasize this, the Indian regulator talks about the small guy. They talk about Indian content providers. And as I say, you could imagine a scenario where their concerns might be borne out if, for example, Facebook were picking winners and losers and discriminating against certain sites. But that's not actually how Zero Basics has worked.
No, it's a neutral platform, and anyone who can meet the specifications, basically anyone who can develop an app that can work with zero rating, that's kind of can work on a low bandwidth network, they can join the program.
Right, and that's the kind of middle ground that I think we should be talking about. I mean, the regulator, citing Barbara Manshevich, says, a middle ground of case-by-case adjudication would be really hard. But there are lots of other things that you could do here. I mean, for example, Facebook changed the name of its program. It was initially called internet.org. They renamed it as Free Basics. That seems to me to be a pretty good way of addressing one of the fundamental concerns here, which was that consumers might be misled into thinking that the program offered the entire internet.
And that happened without regulation.
Exactly. But, you know, you could imagine other countries maybe wanting to make that kind of thing a requirement. You could imagine more disclosure in making sure that people know that there is an option for a full-size program. And you could imagine other sorts of restrictions to say, look, if the program is available to any content developer, as the Indian version of Free Basics was, that should be allowed, but maybe a program that really did block certain sites, maybe that shouldn't be allowed. In other words, there are lots of other ways that the regulator could have dealt with the concerns that they claim to be focused on without simply banning the program.
Right. The key point is that if you're going to have regulation to preserve net neutrality, it should be about consumers. It should be about actual consumer harm and what happens to them. It shouldn't be about ideology. It shouldn't be about the way you think that other people should use the internet. And just looking ahead, this is obviously a big blow to Free Basics. It's a big market. But Facebook's really kind of taking this in stride. They're being pretty positive about this, despite the decision. They're not giving up on India. Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO, says he is still committed to his mission to connect the unconnected all over the world, and they're not discouraged by this despite the policy loss and despite the politics, which could be really frustrating. So I mean, credit to them. I mean, I'd be pretty pissed if I were them, but they're really taking this in stride.
And it's worth noting that the Indian carriers may well decide to appeal this decision. Certainly, if this decision happened in the U.S., I think this would be tossed out in court. Even though U.S. courts are generally quite deferential to expert agencies, they often toss out decisions when the agency has simply failed to address key facts in the record. And that's very clearly true here. So you might see an Indian court toss this out if the carriers decide to fight the case. But the real question is going to be what happens in other countries. And I just hope that this doesn't become a roadmap for other countries to ban Free Basics the way that the Indian regulator has.
Well, this issue is certainly blowing up, and we will be tracking it very closely. That's it for today's show. My guest has been President of Tech Freedom and also Supreme Leader of North Korea, Baron Soka. Baron, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, and I'm pleased to announce a new nuclear missile launch will be happening next week from Tech Freedom Studio right here in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's clearly a good use of government funds. Follow us on
government funds. No, hey, we're supported by listeners like you, so you can make your tax-deductible donation for our launch next week.
Nice.
Launching an Indiegogo campaign.
Nice segue. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Freedom or on Facebook.com/Tech Freedom. Find this podcast in the iTunes store or on your favorite podcast app. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review. It will really help us out. Thank you for listening.
The Tech Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, to make a tax-deductible donation, and to find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.